Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Thanks for tuning in to Abiding in Christ. On the program today, we have the conclusion of a segment that we began last time. Our hope is that you'll find it challenging and informative, and that you'll listen to it with the knowledge that you can have full confidence in Christ, trusting Him as Savior and Lord. Please pray for us, and consider making a contribution that will support us in this ministry. For more information and to access ministry resources, we'd love for you to call us at 866-41-ABIDE, or you can visit our website, pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Again, thanks for listening, and now we join the broadcast.
Abimelech chose to identify with the people of Shechem. Because after all, he was half Canaanite. He was half one of them. And so he said to his mother's brothers, "You're my family. I'm one of you. I want you to spread the message in town. Wouldn't it be better to have me rule over you than to have the 70 sons of Jerubbaal? You see, this guy whose father is the king, and now his dad, wanted to be the king. He wanted to be the boss. He wanted to be number one. But there were these 70 guys in his way, 70 rivals for the throne, if you will. And there's no hint in the text that one of them was emerging saying, I'll take up dad's mantle, I'll be the next one. Instead, he says, "Do you want all 70 of them to be in charge of you? Wouldn't it be better just to have one king? I'm one of you. Let me be your ruler." He appeals to the people and he says, "Come on, I'm one of you. Let me represent you. Let me be your ruler." And they thought about it and said, "Well, he is one of us. He's one of us. Yeah, yeah." So they took money from the demon temple, and Abimelech used it to hire a paramilitary force. And that group went with him to his father's house and murdered the sons of Gideon. They didn't do it in some kind of warfare. They rounded them up and offered them in a religious ceremony as human sacrifice, killing them one after another, after another, after another, after another, on a single stone. This was execution. This was demonic worship. And then he was installed as king. One of the 70 had escaped. Jotham goes to the top of a nearby hill and calls down to the coronation. And he says, "Listen to me so that God may listen to you." And he tells them a story about the trees trying to find one ruler. And all of the valuable trees and even the valuable vine says, "I don't want that job." One of the problems we have in this country is that, you know, we don't like those who are in office, but the people we wish would be in office aren't willing to run for office because it is costly to be in leadership. Every one of these other trees said, "I don't want to give up what I've got in order to rule over you." If you ever look at people who are in authority and think, "Boy, I wish I could do that," you wouldn't be good at it. is a calling. And sadly, the most capable are generally unwilling to make the sacrifice. Well, they finally exhaust their options and they say to the thorn bush, "Would you be our king?" Pun intended, this was a very pointed story. He says, "If you really want me to be your king, you're going to have to come take shade under my branches." Nobody would want to climb under a thorn bush in order to get some shade, okay? But that is exactly what was going to happen. This was a prophecy, and this was a curse. He says, if the way you have treated Gideon's family is a fair, just response to everything that Gideon did for you, then may Abimelech be your joy and you be his. But if not, if what you've done was wrong, and obviously even they knew it was wrong, if what you've done was unjust, then may fire come out from Abimelech and burn you. And may fire come out from you and burn Abimelech. And may you all be consumed. May you all be destroyed. And then he took off running. He made his speech, and then he took off running. And he hid out, because he was understandably afraid of his brother Abimelech. 3 years later, God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the people of Shechem. Now, some folks have a real problem with this. Surely there must be some other better way to translate that. Well, you can translate it differently, but you won't be as literal in your translation, because what it speaks of here is that God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the people of Shechem. Why would it say such a thing? Well, because that's what happened. Well, is this making God the author of sin? No. This is manifesting God's sovereignty and his rule even over the forces of darkness. Have you ever read a book called The Book of Job? Okay? All those spiritual forces presenting themselves before God. Why? Because God's still in charge. In a world that is filled with evil and injustice, God is still in charge. There are people out there who are idolaters and who are leading others astray, trying to persuade them, you'd like it better if you understand that God really isn't so much in charge. I mean, he's got a lot of power, okay? But God ultimately would like to do more for us, but his hands are tied. He really can't, because God loves us, but he can't control all the details. Let me just tell you something. That's an idol that those people worship. God is in charge of every part of every atom in the universe. Well, so does that mean that God causes all the evil? No. It means that God, in his sovereignty, has chosen to allow his creatures to make choices within limits, and those choices have consequences. And this evil spirit that came between the citizens of Shechem and Abimelech was sent by God as a consequence of what they had done. Please notice at the end of the chapter. Thus, verse 56, thus God repaid the wickedness that Abimelech had done to his father by murdering his 70 brothers. God also made the men of Shechem pay for all their wickedness. The curse of Jotham, son of Jerubbaal, came on them. God says in his word, do not be deceived. Whatever a person sows, they will also reap. That is God's law. That is the sovereign God saying, if you do this, the natural consequence is this. If you plant corn, don't expect tomatoes. If you plant wheat, don't expect oats. God doesn't have to work miracle after miracle after miracle in order to give us what we want, even though it's not what we planted. God says there are consequences to our decisions. There are consequences to our actions. And God sent an evil spirit in order to provide the harvest that he had decreed would happen because these folks had forgotten him, abandoned him, were worshiping demons, and had horribly, in a religious murder, repaid Gideon's family and Gideon himself by killing his sons. What is astounding? I mean, God sent his son into this world knowing what we would do to his son. If you want to know the heart of man toward God, unregenerate man toward God, look at what we did to Jesus. That's how humanity responds to the Son of God. And yet God deliberately sent his Son into the world in order to save us. Staggers me. Why would he do that? Why wouldn't he just destroy the planet? He didn't owe us anything. But he chose to save. And if you read what the New Testament says about the crucifixion of Jesus, one of the most important passages is in Acts when it tells us that Jesus was killed through the wicked actions of wicked men according to the plan and foreknowledge of God. Astounding. God, in his sovereignty, used the choice of man, the wicked choice of man, in order to accomplish his purpose. Is God the author of sin? Never. But does God rule over all? Absolutely, all the time. Is that hard to wrap our minds around? Yeah. Because we're finite. God's not.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit PastorWood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit PastorWood.org today. That's PastorWood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
I want you to see also in this passage that God did this after Abimelech had ruled for 3 years. Why did Abimelech get to rule for 3 years before all this came to a head? Because that's what God said. Well, but I mean, this guy's a horrible guy. He's an assassin. He's a demon worshiper. He's hideous. Why would God let him rule 3 years instead of 3 days? Wouldn't it be better to kill him after 3 days? I'm sure Jotham would have liked that. If that was too quick, what about 3 weeks? What about 3 months? 3 years. Why? Because that's what God decided. Suffering and waiting are two of the most important tools in God's refining us. We don't like it. We don't like to suffer. We don't like to wait. But God knows what he's doing. And you say, well, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't. And you don't know what I'm going through, so there. But here's the thing. Whatever we're going through, it's temporary. It's temporary. And if you are in Christ, when you cross over to the other side, when you are with him in glory, you're not going to say, God, you weren't fair to me. You're going to say, oh, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and honor and power. Okay? I mean, there's no way we're going to feel like we suffered too much when we are in glory with him. And furthermore, if you are not in Christ, these are the best days you're going to have. If you die not having yielded your life to Christ, you're going to wish you had these days back. Because people who tell you, you know, hell on earth is all the suffering there is, you know, we're all going to end up in heaven, they are clueless. Because they're contradicting what God says in his word. And anytime you do that, you're wrong. You know, if it's you versus the Bible, that's not much of a contest. God offers eternal life and promises whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What a glorious thing. What an amazing thing that he would save sinners like us. He sent his son not risking death. He sent his son to die. He sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins, the one who bore the wrath that we deserved. And so when we read this, we see a dark world. We see a place where people are not honoring God. They are not trusting him. They're not seeking to obey him. And yet God is still at work. They don't see what God is up to, but God sees what they're up to. And God is at work in this situation, even when for 3 years Abimelech and the people of Shechem seem to be getting along fine. We don't have time to look at the info about this guy, Gale, but I love the way that he boasts. They've all been drinking, and he's boasting about, you know, who is this Abimelech guy? You know, I tell you, if I was in charge, I'd say to him, come on, bring out your whole army. It didn't work out well for him. Zebul, who was also ridiculed by Gaal, he says, you know, isn't this just the son of a slave girl? This guy you're treating as a king? Why should you submit yourselves to him? He's just Gideon's son. Why would you want to do that for him? And Zebul, he's just his deputy. And Zebul says, excuse me, I've got to go. And he sends some messengers to tell Abimelech what's going on. The people are being turned against you. He didn't mention they're being turned against me, okay? But that was also the case. Why don't you come and lay siege to the city, and when they come out, just do whatever your hand finds to do. That's a politician for you. You know, I'm sorry. I even though we're short on time, I have to say this. When Gale and his men come out against you, do whatever your hand finds to do. Okay. I'm not telling you what to do here. I'm just saying you'll know what to do. You do what you want to do. That's called preserving deniability. Let me just tell you, anything that you see in the news today, and you can't believe most of what's being reported, but any of the stuff that's going on today in politics or business or whatever, it's not new. This is the way people have always been. There have always been people in a bar saying what they'd do if they were in charge. You know? There have always been people saying, oh, I wouldn't be afraid to fight him. And then when he shows up, they have to run for their lives. I'm just telling you, God doesn't change. And people just replace one generation of idiots with another. Okay? I mean, there's no hope anywhere except in God. Everything else is utterly useless. But God mercifully sent his son to save all who call on him. Anybody who cries out to the Lord for salvation will be saved. If you realize, I am one of those idiots, I'm one of those sinners, I'm one of those who went his own way, did his own thing, tried to be in charge, God, have mercy on me. Please forgive me. God says, the reason you're praying that prayer is because I have had mercy on you, and I've opened your eyes, and I've changed your heart. Call upon the Lord. He will save you. Thanks be to God. Because Jesus came to save sinners. I mean, Jotham proclaimed a prophetic message, but Jotham was no hero. He didn't mobilize a bunch of people to go in there and bring justice. God worked all that out. You have the pathetic ending of Abimelech saying to his servant, please run me through with your sword so that nobody will be able to say a woman killed him. I mean, you know, isn't that sad? And everybody's still going to know what happened, you know. Oh, yeah, it wasn't a woman who killed him. It was his servant because he was dying, because a woman dropped a thing on his head. You know, I mean, the story's still, you can't outrun these things, all right? But in the midst of it all, into such a world, God sent his son. And if you are in Christ, you have a new identity. If you are in Christ, it's not about what your behaviors have been. It's not about where you went to school. It's not about what neighborhood you live in or what ethnicity you are. I am a redeemed child of God. My identity is in Christ. I'm his creation, and in Christ I'm his new creation. And I'm his forever, entirely because of grace. That's my identity. Everything else is just chaff, okay? Absolutely unimportant. What matters is my identity in Christ. If you are in him, you are his forever, and we're family. It's not about this group or this group. It's not identity politics. It's about being found in him, knowing him. Heavenly Father, help us to truly repent and believe the good news, to stop clinging to stuff that doesn't matter and that won't last. Help us to rejoice that you've made us part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Help us to love you because you first loved us. And help us to love one another, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.